Besties, we have an incredible, incredible treat for you today. Joining us on After Bedtime is the incredible businesswoman, mother, designer, and one of our favorites on the hills, the Whitney Port. And we touch on everything from her struggle to balance it all, how she adjusts to life in the spotlight, dealing with internet haters who were obsessed with her body, and she vulnerably opens up about her recent IVF and infertility journey. You don't want to miss this one. Let's get into it. Besties, you know that After Bedtime, this is a podcast where we navigate the wild world of parenting after our little ones have gone to sleep. But we can't forget our other little babies, our furry little troublemakers, our dogs. I have a little pug. His name is Moki and we call him Momo, and he really is my number one baby. He was my first child. And at the same time, as much as we love our pets, we know they can get into some trouble sometimes. Let me tell you about a time that my sweet, sweet baby Moki got into a bit of trouble. My one-year-old was just learning how to do solids. He's practicing. I gave him a huge lamb bone. And the baby, being a baby, accidentally dropped it on the floor, and within seconds, I kid you not, I looked over. Before I could grab it, Moki inhaled the lamb bone all 6 inches in a pug down his throat. It was horrifying. We rushed him to an emergency vet, and thankfully, it was a 3-day journey. He is okay, but trust me, the vet bills, they were no joke. Speaking of which, we wanted to share a message from our partner Spot Pet Insurance, because Spot Pet Insurance plans can offer up to 90% cash back on eligible vet bills, which sounds like a game changer and something I wish I had on the Moki Lambone fiasco. Honestly, like, it was bad on top of bad when I got the bill. But now imagine getting up to 90% cash back on that bill. And the Spot Pet Insurance plan offers not only coverage for accidents and illness plans, but an optional preventative care benefit as well to help with the cost for routine wellness, vaccines, and more. And if you catch yourself thinking like, is it expensive? Let me tell you, it is probably less expensive than the unexpected $1,800 vet bill that I got served. Go to spotpetinsurance.com today and get a free quote instantly. It's very easy. Disclaimer, paid ad for Spot Pet Insurance. Waiting periods, annual deductible, coinsurance, benefit limits, and exclusions may apply. For all terms, visit spotpetins.com/sample-policy. Insurance plans are underwritten by either Independence American Insurance Company or United States Fire Insurance Company and produced by Spot Pet Insurance Services, LLC. If you follow us on Instagram, you know that Moki, my pug, he is my number one baby. He's my firstborn. I love him so much. But if I'm being really, really honest, ever since having kids, he doesn't get the attention that he used to. I do my best, but there's a lot going on. But one thing that makes me feel really good is we recently switched his food to the farmer's dog. And I cannot tell you how happy this little pug is every morning and every night when he's about to eat. Even my husband commented yesterday, he's like, I've never seen Moki prance around so excited. He loves this food. And I've noticed a difference where he does look happier, he has more energy, he just looks like a healthier dog. The farmer's dog makes and delivers fresh, healthy dog food. It's recommended by vets, nutritionally balanced, and it's made from human-grade ingredients in safe, clean kitchens. Honestly, when you pour it, you can tell how real and how clean this food is. In hindsight now, I can really see how, like, traditional dry and wet dog food options are extremely processed, and they can use so much lower quality ingredients than they claim to, and they're extremely difficult to portion accurately. And if you're using dry food or like store-bought food, no guilt. I did it for a really long time, but I now notice such a difference since I've switched him, which is why I'm here sharing the farmer's dog with you so you can incorporate it into your family. And one little detail that I love, it makes life easier, is the farmer's dog isn't just higher quality food. They also send you the right pre-portioned size specifically for your dog based on their unique nutritional needs. This makes it really easy to help your dog reach and stay at their ideal weight, which is one of the biggest indicators of a full, healthy life. In fact, dogs at healthy weights can live as much as 16% longer than overweight ones. And that's 2.5 years. A fresh diet has been found to have all sorts of benefits, from healthier coat and skin to better breath and even easier digestion and smaller, better poops. Yes, poops matter. A healthy diet isn't just important for humans. Get 50% off your first box at thefarmersdog.com/feelings. Let the Farmer's Dog know that we sent you. Use our code or click podcast after you sign up for your first box.
Big Little Besties, we are so excited to introduce today's guest. If you are a millennial mom, you are going to be so excited too. Today's guest is someone you may know, and if you know her, you are probably obsessed with her like we are. She starred on the iconic MTV reality TV shows The Hills and The City. She's a creative director and designer, a mom to an adorable 6-year-old named Sunny. Our guest today is Whitney Poore. Hey!
Welcome.
Thank you.
Oh my God, we met one time.
Yes.
Dina had to stay behind, but yeah. We went to DC to ban assault rifles. Yes. What an amazing trip.
It was so amazing.
It was so amazing.
I know, we didn't get to lobby together, but we got to hang briefly.
For 1 second.
That was really, really cool. Yeah. We need to do more with them.
We do need to do more. March the 4th.
Yeah.
Ban assault rifles for our babies. That was amazing.
Something that I didn't think that I was going to be thinking about every single day since Sunny started school.
Seriously.
You did not think that that was going to be something to navigate.
Not at all.
But we got to do what we can.
Well, we're so excited.
Thank you. Same.
We're such fangirls, but also just following you in general. Your fashion. You're just a fun follow,
by the way. That's like all you I really want to be. Oh my God. Thank you. Good. That makes me feel good. Because that's it. I want to be a fun follow. Like, I want to inspire and I want to talk about important things and obviously have serious conversations, but I think social media should be fun. I mean, yeah, at least that's how I look at
it. Just be enjoyable to consume in some way.
Yeah.
You do
have
that.
Like a positive light,
I think I dress up on date night now because of you, actually.
Really?
Because I see you take cute photos, and then the other day I was like, I kind of want to be cute again.
She sent me a text and she said, I'm sending you the Whitney Poore selfie.
Oh my God, date night selfie.
I love it.
You're embarrassing moms all over.
Oh my God,
if there's a trash bag on the wall behind her.
But who cares? That's how literally.
Know what the trash bag
is. It doesn't matter. Who cares? I just feel like sometimes taking that little extra time, that little extra step can make you, feel a little bit better about yourself in these days where we can just feel like who are we, as moms. It's like your identity shifts, and I feel like fashion, your body, everything changes. So I'm glad that I could do that for you.
Okay, I want to start out because you have a very unique life. Mm-hmm. You grew up basically on television. I mean, you were what, were you 20?
I was 20. Yeah, 20 when I started on The Hills.
Okay. And we all watched you voraciously because The Hills was like a sensation. Like, no one on earth was more famous than the cast of Laguna Beach, The Hills at that time.
It's so crazy.
We were like living through you.
Yeah.
You know?
Right.
Everyone.
Right. We were like the lens into this Hollywood lifestyle at this time. And totally. It was, I had no idea it was going to be that. I knew it was a docu-style series where they were following girls in LA doing different things, but I had no idea it was obviously going to turn into what it was, or that I was on like Lauren Conrad's spinoff. Like, no idea for all this. I was really just working in fashion. Yeah. And then MTV happened to be in our offices and found me, and yeah.
What was it like to be part of that craze at such a young age?
It was, I feel like so much of it is can be like sort of a fog because it was so much and it was so overwhelming and I was so young, but it was amazing. Like, I don't regret it for a second. You know, I was lucky to be on a reality show where it was like they weren't trying to ruin everybody on the show at the time. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And there wasn't social media at the time either. So the shows would go out and then we would have no idea what anybody thought of it or like what anybody thought about us. So it was more freeing time to be on reality TV. But I always was just like, I grew up in Los Angeles. I went to like a private school on the West Side, and I feel like I was around Hollywood. And so I was never trying to be famous. I wasn't trying to be on the TV show. I wasn't like impressed. So I really could just be myself. And I knew going into it, I wanted to turn this into something more, and that I wasn't going to make a fool of myself.
That's amazing at a young age. Yeah. Can we just pause for a second? Somebody followed me with a camera at 20.
I did those things on my own. But that's the thing. Like, The Hills was set up where I was Lauren's coworker, and I would go to film in the office, and we would do like work things together. So I was still like getting shit faced and acting a fool at college on the side. They just weren't filming it, you know?
Right. Yeah.
But then they asked me to do The City.
I love The City, and by the way.
That was a good one.
The
City was really fun.
It was different than Laguna Beach.
It got like too aspirational at a time when Jersey Shore was coming out, and people just wanted to see that shit, like the throwing of the drinks and the
chaos.
Ours was a little bit different kind of chaos.
You were like a class act always on the show, which is good in retrospect if you look back. Like, you were, you know, you really had it together.
I feel like I did too. Yeah. Like, I wasn't faking that. Like, I had great parents, and I was one of five kids, and I had an awesome upbringing, and I was always a really confident person, like really confident girl, and had like a good head on my shoulders. And so I went into it thinking just like, how can this kind of like serve me, you know? Mm-hmm. And I had a boyfriend at the time when I started doing The Hills that didn't want to be on the show. And so I really was like, I made sure that I kept my sacred relationships private. Like, they weren't going to film my family, my sisters, boyfriends, parents. Like, they weren't coming in my house. And then once I started doing The City, I kind of had to let that all go, because they were like, well, we have to follow you. And like, we can't, you know, can't just be at the office. So I opened myself up for a little bit, but I really do think like it was very hard for me to completely open myself up and be like the center of that kind of drama that the show eventually, like, we did 2.5 seasons of it, but I'm not meant to be like a shining star on reality TV.
I mean, you could be, because like, you're so approachable, but yeah, you don't want that.
Not reality TV.
That was actually my next question, which is interesting.
Yeah, I was wondering.
Lauren, even Kristen Cavallari, since being thrust into that world, it seems like they kind of like, not pulled back, because I feel like that's a negative word. It's actually more of a positive thing, where they kind of have healthy boundaries in terms of their privacy or their kids' privacy.
Yeah.
What does that look like for you post, you know, The Hills craziness?
Yeah. So I feel like I'm a little bit in between. Like, those girls, I feel like, I mean, they're both so different in how they like portray their lives. But yeah, they definitely haven't. Like, Lauren's definitely not tried to like put herself out there at all. And Kristen does in a different way, in like a very raw way. But I think that for me, I like it now that I can put myself out there when I want to, that it's really on my terms, and that there's not a team of producers or editors there to spin what I say or infiltrate into my life. You know, I don't want that anymore. It's like too manipulative and confusing. And I remember, like, those were really the hardest times of filming, were when the producers would try to get something out of you, or want you to have a certain reaction or care more or make something bigger than it was, or like act a way that you wouldn't normally act. And so it was like, no, but this is, people really think this is me on the show. So I'm not going to do that. Like, it was a constant push and pull. And I don't want that as like part of my life anymore. But I do like being vulnerable on social media. And I like connecting with women in that way. Like, I do want to share what I'm going through. I felt that way ever since. I didn't know that I would be like that, especially coming off the show. I thought I would want to be more private, but I feel like it was after, when I got pregnant with Sunny and Timmy started filming me just talking about my pregnancy and just like my real raw feelings about it, and they weren't like the most positive. And we put out the YouTube series I Love My Baby But.
My favorite. I love that.
And thank you. I was like, I was like terrified to put it out there, because I felt like I was so trained to think that like this kind of raw stuff and this feeling about pregnancy was just so, like, I was a monster, and that there were so many people that were just like dying to be pregnant, and the fact that I was complaining about it and having such a hard time with it just made me seem like horrible. And so I was really scared, really, really scared to put it out there. And then once I did, I just got all the validation that I needed, that people were feeling the same way, that then I felt so much more comfortable opening myself up. And now, like, I really do still pick and choose. Like, I'm not an open book. I'm not like the typical influencer that's on there all day showing my day to day. Like, I like the fashion and beauty stuff because that's like, that's fun for me and it just comes naturally. But I think that, like, I have to sometimes protect the things that I'm going through as to not completely open myself up to opinions, because I can be easily impressionable and I can get confused, and I want to really just connect to what I want and not what anybody else wants for me or all the questions they want me to ask. So now it's more like I said, I pick and choose when I put things out there, but I do find such like strength and confidence for myself in being vulnerable.
Yeah. I think even we struggle with that for sure, where you realize once you get to a certain size, anything that you quote unquote give is kind of taken and gone, you know? And so you have to know and be conscious and proud of what you're sharing.
Yeah.
And I think there's such a misunderstanding that influencers or people online have to share everything. And if they're not, they're hiding something, or you owe it to them. Or it's like, now we really have to, like, at least for myself, but I know you're the same way, pick and choose. I'm not even, like, for me, I'm no longer sharing my child's vacations because I, you know, and it's just every year it's going to change. But right now that belongs to us.
Right.
That belongs to them. Mm-hmm. And maybe I'll share this, but I'm not going to share that. Just being really conscious what you are putting out and then what you kind of just like gets to belong to you.
Because people take it and they just run with it with their own narratives.
They change the narrative.
Spin it. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And someday your kids can read it and it's like, well, that's not what our vacation was like.
Totally.
What do you mean?
Totally.
You know, like, she was just whatever it is. It's like, now you just, I know for me, it's like, okay, this is what I'm okay with, just the story is out there.
This
and then
is
whatever
what I
happens
wanna
with
put
it
out there. Yeah. And
is
I think
happen.
It's all about just tuning into your gut and just knowing what you feel, what you want to put out there and what you don't. And you know what you do and what you don't. And like, I think it's okay to have those boundaries. Just like you got boundaries in with this and boundaries in everything. Like, I do feel that that's okay. And for anybody that wouldn't understand that, like, I don't want them to follow me anyways. But like, I feel like I get to a point where eventually I will share things. I just need some time. I want the time to be able to process them on my own and come up with my own scenario, make my own decision for myself that doesn't have anybody else's voice like weighed into it.
Okay, we're big believers that small, easy changes can have big results, and that goes for your skincare routine too. These days, it's so confusing to know what product works for this and that and which work together in what order, so I'm just going to make it easy for you. The Work System from Dime Beauty. Dime Beauty is clean, it's high-end skincare that's affordable, and it really works. Dime didn't sacrifice performance just to make it clean either. And when I say clean, by the way, Dime is 100% transparent about every single ingredient, so you can use their products daily with confidence. I do not have time to remember a 10-step routine. The Work System is everything you need in one powerful package. It includes a gentle cleanser, a toner, two incredible serums, and two luxurious moisturizers. Plus, with spring and summer around the corner, I love anything with sunscreen. Their Tinted Glow Wonder Screen with SPF 30 just came out in new shades, and it's amazing. Dime has over 2 million happy customers, and their product reviews are literally all 5 stars. Love your skin again. Go to dimebeautyco.com now and unlock your discount. That's dimebeautyco.com. Dimebeautyco.com. It's about time you've checked out Dime.
At Alma, we know the connection between you and your therapist matters. But if you're already feeling stressed and burnt out, the idea of trying to find a therapist you really connect with can be overwhelming. That's why Alma's focused on helping you find the right therapist for you. When you browse their online directory, you can filter your search based on the qualities that are most important to you. Then you can book a free 15-minute consultation call with any therapist you're interested in seeing, so you can get a feel for whether they're the right fit before you commit to a full-length session. Alma also makes it easy for mental health care providers to navigate insurance. That's why 95% of therapists in their directory accept insurance for sessions, so you can find care that's affordable without stressing about the paperwork. You want to talk to someone, but not just anyone. Alma is there to help you find the right fit. Visit helloalma.com/therapy60 to schedule a free consultation today. That's helloalma.com/therapy60.
You were very vulnerable with your struggle mm-hmm. with infertility. Mm-hmm. So that mm-hmm. was something you made a choice to share. And as somebody yes. who had secondary infertility, I know we talked about this.
Yes.
But that was really powerful and really made a lot of people feel less isolated watching you, somebody who's perfect, who lives in Los Angeles and has a perfect husband, mm-hmm. has the perfect kid. Mm-hmm. And she struggles with secondary infertility too. Mm-hmm. For those listening who don't know, could you give like a quick, like what has the fertility journey been so far?
Yeah. Yeah.
And what made you want to share that part?
Yeah. So actually, I don't know when this is coming out, but I filmed a little series with Parallel that was actually like a year and a half ago of me going through a little bit of like the IVF process and stuff that's going to come out for Fertility Awareness Month. But basically, long story short, I got pregnant with Sunny so easily. Went off my birth control, got pregnant within 2 months, didn't have any issues. Then after that, just proceeded to have miscarriage after miscarriage after miscarriage. And for a couple of them, they were able to do like genetic testing, and two of them were chromosomally abnormal, like the two that they miscarried. So we just thought, okay, we're just continually having babies that are chromosomally abnormal. So my OBGYN said it's time to go to like a fertility clinic and see what's going on, because I don't think you want to keep on having all these losses. So we went and we ended up doing the egg retrieval and freezing embryos. And I had every intention of doing implantation on my own. And it was like 3 days before the implantation, and I got really, really sick, and I was like throwing up nonstop, and I like tore up my esophagus, and it was awful, and I had to call off the implantation. And then after that, I just hit like a really, like a, I hit like a rock bottom of like, can I do this? Do I want to do this? Like, I felt like the getting sick right before, it was just like, it was so much for me. And I've talked about this on my own podcast and everywhere, but like was just losing weight and just so stressed from all of it. And so Timmy and I decided like, why don't we look into surrogacy? You know, like this is becoming such a thing, and your health and your happiness is so, so important. And if we can do this, like, let's look into this. So we looked into that, and we ended up trying to use a surrogate, and we miscarried twice with the surrogate mm-hmm. then. So that was just a couple months ago. And so now we are in this kind of, I don't want to call it like purgatory, but it kind of feels that way,
yeah.
of like not really knowing what's next. Like, mm-hmm. I've had some tests, and I have some things going on where it's not the easiest for me to carry, and the surrogate just seems like so overwhelming and expensive after all that we've been through. And so I'm really just like, you're catching me in a moment where it's very much like, I don't know. And I'm just trying to take it day by day and feel it all out. I'm obviously so grateful I have Sunny. Like, I keep on turning to that. I'm like so grateful I at least have him. And I like will be okay if we only have one. But then the other part of me is like, well, we've tried so hard, like to give up now just feels like giving up. So I really like, I don't know.
I feel like that's the part of infertility. That's like it's the most frustrating.
It's never so. It's like you have no control. None. And you need to make these decisions, but you still, even though you make the decisions, you don't know if they're going to work. Mm-mm. And there's like so much future spiraling. And just like I was saying earlier, like I have decision fatigue kind of.
Yeah.
So it's a lot. And I feel like trying, for anyone out there, I really do feel like trying to have a mantra for yourself when you do start to future spiral is the most important thing. And telling yourself, like, what your reality is right now, what do you need for yourself in this moment, and like, what are some of the steps you can take to maybe get some answers to give you some more clarity? Who can you talk to? I think like just making some steps, making some plans to give yourself more clarity is important, but to also just like let yourself be in that space and not force yourself to think about it or make a decision. Just like let yourself be and try to let, like, tune into your gut and really listen to like what your gut is telling you.
Yeah. Amazing advice. Because I feel like the thing I heard a lot too, especially when you share publicly, you get a lot of like questions and opinions.
Yes.
But what I heard a lot was like, how are you so hopeful? Like, how are you so positive? Mm-hmm. And I feel like the answer for most people, I'm curious on yours, where it's like, I'm not always.
No.
It's okay to be absolutely irrationally angry at Kylie Jenner, which was my person at the time, right? Everybody here who has struggled with infertility or lost a baby has some person in their mind that, like, you were irrationally angry at.
And you're allowed to do that. So easily for them, so quickly.
And it might not have, by the way. Yeah, like, I don't know. She had to do IVF.
You saw the announcement. Announces with a reel. And Kristen literally has
was like dying.
A little mentee bee where she's like,
happened to me the other time.
Kylie Jenner.
Yeah. I get it.
How could she post something so vile?
It was like a personal attack against you. 100%. I went to a lunch and I was at a lunch with my friends in New York with this couple, and they just had a baby 8 months ago, and they told me that they were pregnant, and I couldn't help myself. Tears just started streaming down my face. I was like, I'm so happy for you, but I am so sad right now.
And I think that's okay.
Knowing that two feelings can coexist is so important, and knowing that you do feel super hopeful at times and that there are other times that you feel like nothing, like it's never gonna happen, and that's okay too, to not like shame yourself for having either of those feelings.
You can just hold them with at it. The same time.
Yeah, exactly.
And even what you said earlier with Sunny, where like that can be true too. You can be so grateful to have your older kids.
Yes.
Because secondary infertility is really isolating and people don't understand. So like for me, I got a lot of commentary just being like, well, why aren't you just happy with the girls? And it's like, I am happy. Yeah. Like, you can have both feelings. You can feel so grateful and have a yearning in your body for another seat at the table, for another baby, another child.
Yeah.
Like, both things can be true at the same time.
Totally. And for me at this point, it's really like for Sunny. Like, yes, I want it too, but I just think as he's gotten older, like, I want a sibling for him. Like, I had four siblings. I don't need to have five kids, but like, I want him to have that other person, to have that support. Like, I think I do, you know? It's like, I say that and then I'm like, but I'm like, it could be, because I'll try to like talk myself out of things to make myself feel better, you know? But anyways, we're in a, like, Timmy, thank God, is so supportive and helpful. And another tip for anybody out there, like, it is okay to ask for help, right? Like, yes, you do want to, you expect them, or you want them to know that you need it or whatever. But I think that it's okay to ask for assistance with this stuff, because the fertility thing can become like a whole other part-time, even full-time job, especially when you're at the beginning and you're doing all your research and you're trying to figure out what steps to take. And honestly, like, I asked Timmy, I have, right now we're in this place where we have to talk to two different doctors to find out about these procedures and find about costs and insurance and what's the recovery and all this stuff. And he was like, do you want me to call those doctors and find out all that stuff for you? And I was like, honestly, yes. Like, I've been procrastinating it for 3 days, and I will totally take you up on that. So I think that, like, leaning on them is okay. Like, and it takes two to make this happen.
Yeah, it can be really, really isolating, and then it all falls on the woman so quickly.
Yeah.
Like, I had my husband do all of my shots for me.
Amazing, same.
But it makes it, so that makes sense. It makes it so that this is not my experience. Like, I'm doing this alone, and then if it doesn't work, or if it is, like, it's not just me
right.
who's crazy about this. Like, he's just as involved.
Invested.
And, like, still our bodies that are getting all the hormones and stuff, but at least they can feel like very much a part of the process.
You're not right. So
otherwise,
alone
you can just be like two ships in the night of like, this is your whole life and your whole, all the hormones and all the changes, and they just have like business as usual.
Right. Like, even all the calls I suggest being on together. Like, my doctor, Timmy, wasn't on for a call last week and she wanted to start to get into it. And I was like, no. We have to wait for Timmy because I don't want to have to then like retell and explain. And it's that it's exhausting. And then have them ask questions. What did you ask this? It's like, this should be our thing that we're doing together. Totally with you on that.
Yeah.
I hadn't realized how intense, too, the whole process is until I watched you, Kristen, go through it. And it's just so hard. Yeah. Like, both of you, what you've been through. It's, and thank you for speaking about it, because I feel like, really, like, I haven't heard a lot about it.
Yeah.
And then people feel so alone when you're going through it and you think you're the only one.
Mm-hmm.
So thank
and
you
I think
for
it
sharing.
Just, it helps people even support what I saw. Like, it helps me support my friend who's going through
right.
it,
totally.
You know, which
you
is
know,
so
the right
nice.
Things to say, because you don't always know. And I think, too, just the feeling, even if you're not even engaging with it or with the content or whatever it is, but, like, just the feeling of knowing that someone else has that is going through this, just that lifts an immediate weight off your shoulders. I was talking to a friend yesterday who I just love and respect, and like, just her, I don't know, it's just like, so it makes it so worthwhile. And that's why I continue to do it, because yes, it can be difficult, and that's why I have to set the boundaries so that I share it when I'm ready to share it. But I just think that women have been like so understudied, and we're not speaking loud enough, because there's so much more that we can and should know. And the only way that anything is going to get done is if we talk about it.
Yeah.
Do you regret at all sharing about your fertility part? Like, are there parts that are really hard being in the public eye and sharing about fertility and things that are so vulnerable?
The only thing that's hard is, like, sometimes if I don't feel like talking about it, having to talk about it. But I also think it's, like, really cathartic and therapeutic. Like, I get to talk about it so much that I feel like I process it so much, and I can talk about it with people like you. And I get to have these conversations to help me open my eyes and learn new ways of dealing or coping or how someone else has been through it. So it's kind of like, by the time I've put this all out there, I'm like, I've healed from it. You
that's
know what
amazing.
I mean?
Yeah. Yes.
Like, it feels it feels good. So that's the only part, is like, if I'm ever in a mood where I'm just like, ugh, I just want to like not live in that reality right now, then yes. But for the most part, no. Like, I feel like I've found so much self-worth in it as like a woman. And yeah, it's given me so much purpose.
That's a great answer. I mean, any answer is great, by the way. But I think it would be so amazing if more people shared, and not just public figures. I would just love to love to see something else on my timeline other than the 12-week announcement.
Right.
Yes.
And that's in general, by the way. That's just life in general. It doesn't always have to be dark and dismal all the time, but just a little shred of like
what really led
story to the reality
it.
Yeah, too.
Because then you don't feel like there's something inherently wrong with you, which
of
I think
course.
A lot of us immediately go to.
Of course.
It's like, oh, it's just actually like one in six of us.
Totally.
You know?
And like, you don't want to put pressure on people to share, of course. Like, if you don't feel comfortable sharing, of course. But I think that there maybe, I don't know, it's such a fine line, because you're like, certain people you feel like they have a responsibility to be honest and open, but then you're like, no, they don't really owe anything to us. So it's hard, but you definitely do respect the ones that you feel like have put it out there, and not for the sake of themselves too, because that's also something that you can kind of see right through, you know.
Yeah.
And I at think, the same time, I know I've kind of like struggled living on the internet is an interesting thing, you know. And last year especially, I was kind of going through something, and I feel like I got a bombardment of comments at times, like about my body, like without ever asking.
Right.
This was totally uninvited.
Right.
But I wonder too, living on the internet, like, how do you deal with comments, because I'm sure that prevents people from sharing publicly at times.
For sure.
You know? Well, and the body thing especially, because I follow you because I just love your stuff.
Yeah, thank you.
And I just have to say, like, I'm just going to say it out loud because I only want to talk about the body for a little bit.
Yeah.
Because I think there is nothing more shocking and like distasteful than saying one word about a woman's body.
Yeah. I agree.
I just can't just understand don't. It.
I know.
And like, I have chills right now. Yeah. And for some reason, people seem to be a little bit obsessed with your body.
Yeah. So the thing was, is like, I was losing weight. It's not like people weren't picking up on something that was happening. I was stressing the F out. And like, I was not paying attention to it. And it took Timmy to be like, this is something we have to look into, for me to kind of take a look into it. So it's like, I understand the caring thoughts of the caring comments. I never have an issue with, but mm-hmm. it's like the ones that are just so aggressive and mean. It's like, and the thing is, I started to get involved and engaged in the conversation with people and feeling this need to respond, because mm-hmm. I felt like people were going crazy with it and creating this narrative that I'm like, that I thought that I look good. And I really didn't. Like, I really knew that I was like not looking my healthiest. And so it was more like the narrative of what was happening that I was like, I need to clear this up. And then I did that. And I like, that's one thing that I regret doing. Mm-hmm. Like, I really wish, I feel like the thing to do is to just not pay attention to it, because where you are giving, you're shedding light on it, you're like exposing it, you're putting a magnifying glass on it, and then that's all that people want to talk about, and you're giving people like
more.
You're giving them fire. A reason. Like, you've touched on it now. You faced it, so now we can. So like, I just wish I hadn't gone down that road and just like kind of gotten healthy on my own. And I ended up getting there. Like, after a month of kind of going back and forth with people, I was like, you know what? This doesn't have to be a conversation I need to have with anybody that I don't know anymore. Like, I'm just going to focus on myself and get healthy. And like, it doesn't have to be a story in my life anymore.
Like, what a bizarre concept that anyone on earth, like, if people were really worried about your health, then what is the best forum for this? Do you know what I mean?
It's so crazy. It's this curiosity, of course, and people feel this need to comment. And you know, part of it is like the reason why we're all sitting here today. We need, like, these people are, most of them are great. That's the thing.
Yes.
I think is what that's what you need to focus on when you really look at it. Like, there are, you know, and even I noticed this after going to DC with March 4th and talking openly, it was like with that. And then when I went back and talked to the vice president about reproductive rights, like, lost a lot of followers and people saying really nasty shit. And then I'm like, you know what? Those aren't really even the people that I really want following me anyways.
No.
So it's just,
there's a page for them out there, and it's not yours.
Yes. So you grow, you end up like, I've been doing this. I mean, granted, there wasn't social media when I started, but I have been doing social media for a while, and you end up, you grow a pretty thick shell, and you realize that these people don't know you. But also just like, don't engage. Like, really just don't engage.
Yeah. Well, and I think for me, it happened on a smaller scale, but once I opened up the fertility conversation, I don't know if this happened to you, but when people go in the comments and are like, well, if you weren't overweight, you wouldn't have miscarried.
Oh my God.
You could get pregnant if you just lost weight. And it's like, for you, it's maybe the opposite. I don't know. I've seen, I think, some where they're like equating, they're like diagnosing you in a comment based on like a picture of your body.
Yeah. Not knowing that, like, I've gotten a regular period. Right. Exactly. And then you feel like you have to justify.
Yeah.
You're like, my doctor's never had an issue with my weight before. I've had a regular period my entire life. Mm-hmm. Like, I just got 21 eggs out of my egg retrieval. Like, do you want my whole fucking, my whole medical history in order for me to tell you that, like, you don't have a right to comment on my body? It's just so, it's exhausting. And that's why it's so exhausting for us to have to speak for ourselves and stand up for ourselves against this unwarranted stuff. Like, and then people are like, well, you asked for it, you put it out there. So like, get ready for it. And you're like, you know what? Yeah, you're right. So that's why I'm just going to ignore it.
It is a weird time, though, where people really do have that mindset, I feel like, where it's like, well, if you're on the internet, like, you asked for it.
Right.
Yeah. I don't know if that's how it works, guys.
I don't know.
That was like the turning point for me was it was on a miscarriage post and somebody commented it was because my house was so dirty. And then it was 72 after that of being like, well, she asked to be on the internet and like her house is really dirty. So like she should be able to read these.
Yeah.
And it's like, that was actually the moment I think I grew a thicker skin, to be fair, because it's like, okay, we're fictional people. That's okay.
Totally.
So let's stop talking about the bodies because like what I want to say to you is I'm sorry. And no one, and same with Dina, like nobody should be commenting on a woman's body.
Agreed.
And I hope it's a good
lesson to learn because I have to stop myself too. And even I've talked about this, like even just thinking it, like as I've gotten older, I'm so conscious of like just aging, and I'll look at someone in my head, be like, oh, they look old, or like, oh, they look so young. And then I'm like, why are we doing this?
Yeah,
like,
because we're hearing it from somebody else and we're hearing the commentary and so it's just natural. And I'm hearing about Megan Fox's body and I'm hearing about this person's body. I'm like, wait a minute, who fucking cares?
Right, like why? just make sure that I'm good with myself.
Just live in your body.
Just live in my own reality.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch's sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee, plus 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com code Odyssey. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Okay, I want to shift to Sunny. I want to shift to mom life, titty life, Sunny life, all of that. You're in elementary school years.
Yes.
You've graduated the toddler years.
Congratulations. I can't believe it.
Is it like exciting? Is it bittersweet? What is it like now having a six-year-old?
It is. It's the best. Like I was just saying, we're going on spring break tomorrow and I'm actually like, I feel like I used to look at travel with Sunny as kind of like, ugh, you know, like traveling with toddlers just sucks.
I'm in
and,
it.
Yeah, sorry. Like, but now I'm like, oh my God, he's just like an additional extra friend that we get to hang out with. And it's really amazing. I'm like now in the years where I don't want them to go by fast. I felt like I was such a brat in the baby phase and the toddler phase. I was just like, I need this phase just to be over. Like it was really hard for me. And now I wish I didn't think that way so much, but I'm going to give myself grace and you know, whatnot for that. But he's the cutest. He's just the one issue we're having right now is like a little bit of the iPad situation and the screen time, but we're like setting those boundaries. But I'm like, if that's my biggest issue, then I'm we're chilling. Like, I can't, I'm like boring now with my kid, you know? It's like everything's so cute. Yeah.
Like peaceful.
Yeah, peaceful.
Like, we're enjoyable.
In a place, yeah, that's we're lovely. In a place of peace. And like, it's manageable right now with one in kindergarten. And I feel like I'm able to have enough time for myself and have enough time for my husband and have enough time for, I mean, work is like, it's, some days, right now I'm saying that as we're going to go to Hawaii tomorrow, so yeah. I'm excited. But like, yeah, I do feel like we're in a good groove at the moment.
I want like everybody listening to pause and hear that for a second where it's like, I feel like I have time for me. I have time for my husband. Like the husband thing, I feel so guilty about. Like he'll even say that. He'll be like, well, I come last. Like I don't
three.
Have. I know. There's
you
three. There's a business, a baby. Big little feelings with my fourth baby.
Yeah.
And when you're just, it's like those younger years, you know, it's like.
It's so hard to find that time. I know. My friend just called me and she was like, she had a second. She was like, yeah, we're pretty much just like partners right now. Like we're just like.
Roommate style.
Who has to pick up who? When, you know, who's making whose lunch? Like all this stuff. And it's just. It's all just about planning things. And she's like, have we even hugged this week? And I'm like, yeah, no, that has to be another thing on the to-do list.
It's
you
true.
Know what I mean? Like you have to make that a priority.
Yeah.
But yeah, Timmy and I, like, we both don't have typical, like 9 to 5s where we're going to work. So we get to spend a lot of time together and we like really enjoy it because we do have time enough time apart away from each other as well.
Mm. Yeah. Now, like you said, though, the earlier's are hard.
Yes.
They're very trying. We give so much of ourselves. And if you could kind of look back and give yourself some advice, what would you give yourself?
I would tell myself, I think what I was saying kind of before, that like everything is really a phase. I think that there are so many different phases that you realize that you're going to be in and you're like, oh my God, how am I going to deal with this forever? Am I going to be this tired forever? Is he going to be having this sleep regression forever? Like it's, you know, you start to again forward spiral. And I feel like I would tell myself to just try to have patience with it. And like, as hard as it is, think about the things that aren't going to be that like you're going to miss about this phase and just know that there is like an ending to the phase, that none of it lasts forever. And
totally.
I think that it will give you some like freedom there.
Yeah, that's something I feel like I'm in kind of this next chapter, which is funny to say that my kids are 3 and 2. Like I'm very much in it.
Yeah. Yes.
We're both like you're but good
four
for you.
And three, four and three is like a totally different.
Yeah.
And then 5 and 4, like, right now you're still really in it, but you do, like, you probably are so much more in a groove than you were a year ago.
100%.
Yeah.
When they were 2 under 2, every day was kind of like just trying to stay above water.
Right.
And it's so
surviving.
Interesting now that I'm here, what feels like a next chapter. Like the other day, you guys, I watched them run into the other room and go play. You know, I was like,
yes.
Oh my God, like what is this? But it did make me realize, but when you're in that hard phase, for me at least, I can get stuck in what you said at times where it's like, well, this
it's
is my
never
life
gonna
now,
happen. Yeah.
You know, like it's not going to change. This is it. This is hard. And then it changes.
And then it changes.
Wild.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And you have to, and I also urge you to like really take in those moments when it changes so that it's like more validation for you. So that when you are in a phase, you can trust that like it is going to change because you felt it before, you know?
And then you end up looking back at those times and you're like, oh my God, I was so resilient. Like, look at what I got through.
I'm so proud.
Yeah.
Like, I can do whatever it is that I'm facing today now. Yeah. Yeah.
100.
Mm-hmm. How have you evolved, like, through motherhood from the start?
I think that I've really just learned to trust my gut more.
Good for you.
Yeah. I think that, like, I've realized that I am a really good mom and that I usually know what to do and what to say and that I need to trust that more and not look to, like, Timmy for how to handle it or... And just, to really, like, trust myself. I think that also that I can be I can set boundaries and I can be a disciplinarian while also creating a safe space for him to come to with anything. Mm-hmm. And that was just a good reminder to really work on before, like to work on my look or whatever with him. Because I don't, I always want to be that safe space. I never want him to feel like there's going to be any sense of like judgment or whatever. So,
so yeah. Were boundaries were hard for you before?
I think so, a little bit. I just wasn't, I was very kind of like taking the easy way out, like giving mm-hmm. him what he needed or what he wanted, or appeasing him, making things easier. And so then in the moment, it was making things easier. Right. And I think I found that with more consistency and with more routines, like his bedtime routine used to be so crazy. Like, so long, 5 minutes of playtime, 2 minutes of talking, like 3 minutes of coloring, you know, three books. It was like all, and now it's like we stick to it, same every night. And if he starts derailing, I'm like, Sonny, like now's the time. You know, sometimes like Sonny, now's not the time. Yeah. But like, you know, I realize that it's a balance of that. And yeah.
Yeah. Boundaries can be tricky because when your kid is like screaming at you, pushing back because they don't want that to happen, which is totally understandable. Like, who wants to go to bed? You know, no. I'd rather play.
Right. But well, when that's when I have you. To give choices. Mm-hmm. That's what I've learned about choices. Like, I found that if I give him certain choices, and I'm sure that's like so basic in your guys' book, but
no,
like,
that's like great. Yeah, basic
I'm
is
like,
good.
Listen, babe, we can talk. If you want to chit chat for 2 minutes, like, or chit chat, we can chit chat, but that means we're not going to have as many books, mm-hmm. you know? Right. And like, sometimes Tim will be like, well, it shouldn't be a negative. Like, when you give them a choice, it should be a this or that. Like, either we can chat or, I don't know, something else positive. But I'm like, I don't know. At this point, I feel like he can understand that there's consequences. Like, it can't be, can't have everything. You can't have the time to chit chat, you know, the all the chit chat time and the music time and the three books. Like, gotta make some sacrifices.
You really let him experience his choice.
Yes.
Yeah. And give him the ownership and independence.
Yes.
Especially
yes.
as they get older.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, back to your career, because you mentioned yes. that and your yeah. job. How has motherhood affected your career, like positively, negatively, like especially when he was little?
Yeah.
You know, like how was that experience?
I think that it totally became like intertwined. Like I felt that once I got pregnant, it became part of my identity as like a social media persona, you know, because I started to put it out there as soon as I got pregnant. So it all sort of like intertwined. And then I think I started to feel, even like if I didn't have a second kid, like it needed to happen for me because it was so part of my business, you know. But I think now it's really, I really am trying to keep most of it separate. Like I do want to share parenting and motherhood stuff, and I talk about that on my podcast, but I'm not like plastering Sonny all over my social media. Like yeah. if he's in a cute look or he does something funny or whatever, like I'll put him on there, but this isn't like let's just put a camera in my kid's face all day and mm-hmm. you know, for every little thing that's going on. Like I, like you, really don't want to do that anymore. He's very aware of the phone and the camera and whatnot. So in that respect, I keep it pretty separate. But in my work, you know, there's so many different things that I do that I, where I'm talking about myself personally, where it does like come into the mix.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like we have a segment on my podcast, Date Night. I do a date night with Timmy.
I love that one, by the
every
way.
Every other
yeah, that's
week.
Fun.
Yeah,
that's the most fun one.
And like one of the things that we talk about is just like something about Sonny and like what we're dealing with in that moment about Sonny. But I do, yeah, my life, it covered, I don't know. Like it's pretty separate at this point.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And how do you, well, okay. I want to precede this with like someday we will ask men this too.
Yeah.
But I'm very curious, as moms who are trying to juggle a career and one that you're like kind of building from scratch and you have kids, like how do you actually juggle at all?
Yeah.
Like, do you ever feel like you're drowning? Do you feel like you have a good balance now? Like,
my God, yes. You never really fully juggle at all. I think that it's all about, you're going to be in those extremes. There's inevitably going to be moments where you're drowning, and then there's going to be moments where you're feeling like on top of it. And I think that is just what it is, you know, and you like have to be okay with those extremes. And I think that you have to know that there are certain days that like work is going to get most of your attention. There are certain days your kids are going to get most of your attention. But like, I think the most important thing is that whatever you're doing in that moment, to be fully doing that thing, you know, like if I'm working, and I have to take my own advice with this too, because I don't always do this, but if I'm working, like I'm really working and I'm not, you know, the door is closed and I'm not like half in, half out with my with my kid, or if I'm with my kid, that I'm not like on my phone, which is a hard thing, you know, that I'm really having the quality time. So it's making sure that whatever it is I'm doing, I'm actually there and present and doing it, so that I'm feeling whole after leaving that experience, and then feeling, I think, eventually more balanced. And then also just like not feeling, working on not feeling guilty, taking time for myself, like knowing when, you know, and that's part of a luxury that I have, which like being able to manage my own schedule and fill in those blocks for myself, like I am able to do that. So I don't want to sound like a privileged brat, but I do think that like there's few little things that we can all do. I think like my meditating for 10 minutes a day on Calm is major for me. I think that like my therapy once a week has been huge, and staying consistent with that. I'm really not a consistent person, but that has been the one thing that I've been consistent with, and it's then enabled me to be so much more consistent in other areas of my life. And I think just then not feeling guilty for taking that time when you do take it.
And I feel like that's a practice, like
yes,
both the guilt part, but then also the part that you mentioned about learning how to be fully in work and then be fully in parenting, and not let them kind of leak into each other. That takes practice. And it's almost like you have to build up this distress tolerance, right? It feels uncomfortable at first.
It really does.
Panicky and just like yucky.
Like we want to always be doing two things at once. Like we always want to be like trying to tackle everything. And it's like, no, that's actually, I don't feel like that's the way to live. And I always have to remind myself that, because I think that when you're taking things step by step and doing things like intentionally, you're getting things done in a more intentional way, and you're actually like living it, you know? Yeah, and I really have to work on doing that. It's really like the work with the kid time is the thing that I really have to pay attention to, and also the time on our own. Like even when I'm sitting watching TV, I'll feel guilty that I'm sitting there watching TV. I'll start to go to my phone, look at my emails, and feel like I need to be having one act of service while I'm watching TV. And Timmy's like, that's such wasted time. If that's what you're gonna do while watching TV, then TV shouldn't be like your you time, you know? Yeah. Because that's not you're not getting anything.
You're not
from
restoring.
That. No, you're not
just
restoring.
Totally sabotaging the whole
exactly,
thing.
Exactly. Exactly. Exactly.
Okay, well, this has been very, very fun. Thank you for joining us on After Bedtime. This was a blast.
This was a blast. Thank you.
I'm so excited. This was a dream.
I know. Really, I love being with you guys. Yeah. And like, I was like, ooh, Friday, 9 o'clock. But this was so, it's like energy giving. You know? I'm so into like, you realize the things that are like energy sucking. That's another thing. That's another boundary to set, you know, is like realizing people around you who are energy sucking versus like who are energy giving. And I think as we get older, we can really tune into that. And it's so important.
Especially in parenthood, I feel like.
Especially in motherhood.
And who you're going like, to be around. Say 100%.
Say no. Say no more. Say no. Yeah. Say no more. It's okay.
Don't feel guilty.
Well, thank you. We love you.
Thank you, guys. Thanks, love you guys.
Besties, we'll see you next week.
Yeah, see you soon.
Okay.
All right.
Okay, this was seriously so fun. And you can follow Whitney on Instagram, and she has a great podcast with Wit. And Bestie, we talked a little bit today about tantrums and parenthood and tricky behaviors that come with it all.
But let me tell you, toddlerhood, preschooler years, they do not come with a manual. I wish they did, because there are so many tricky little things that just pop up. But that is why we created Winning the Toddler Stage, an online course that tackles literally everything. Like, I kid you not, at the end of this course, there is a section that leads you through everything you could possibly imagine. Bedtime battles, car seat battles, bath time, brushing teeth, picky eating, hitting, you name it, it is all in there. Just one course, no having to get this workshop and that workshop. Because honestly, parenting is hard when we love our kids so much. And we want to be able to shift certain behaviors while also protecting our kids' self-esteem and building a healthy relationship. One where when things get hard in life, they come to us rather than running away from us. So that course does it all. And you can find that on our website at biglittlefeelings.com/courses. And don't forget to follow us on Instagram, where we not only give free daily tips, but we truly have the most amazing community of parents who show up every day and support each other. It's truly magical. See you there. Thank you so much for being here with us. This has been an Odyssey production, executive produced by Lauren LaGrasso, produced by Daniela Silva, edited by Bob Tabador, and theme music composed by Liz Full. Then studio lighting designed by Shane Sackett and designed by Jackie Shearman. Special thanks to Odyssey Executive Vice President and Head of Podcasts, Jenna Weiss-Berman. And thank you for being here with us. We can't wait till next week.